Please notice with me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to read from verses 12 through about verse 16. And in verse 13 will be our text to begin our message tonight. We're going to be speaking on Pontius Pilate. We've already looked at Apollos and Abigail, Nebuchadnezzar, Martha, and Adam and Eve. That's quite a variety of people from the beginning to the end almost. We find here in this passage, reading from verse 12, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, both a preacher, one an elder, one younger. He said in verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge, in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight thy blessings and thy guidance as we come here and look at this text. We pray, Lord, for thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us from the passages that we read tonight. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we speak of Pilate, we speak of the man who sinned against his own conscience, knowing the innocence of Christ, and even his wife gave warning to him who had a vision from God. He is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. He is mentioned, of course, here in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 13. He's mentioned again in Acts chapter 3 and also in Acts chapter 4. Now, according to Luke 13:1, Pilate had ordered the massacre of many Galileans who were offering sacrifices to God. According to the Apostle Creed, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. The statement shows that history has charged Pilate with contributing to the death of Jesus. And I've got some notes here. I'm going to read just a little bit of one thing. But historians speak of Pilate, Jewish historians and Roman historians. And one Jewish historian describes Pilate's administration as harsh and corrupt. Other historians say he accepted bribes, he was wicked, he was violent, frequent murders under his administration, and savage cruelty. There is a stone bearing Pilate's name that was found in 1961. You know, many have said the Bible is wrong, that he did not exist. Well, in 1961, a team of archaeologists uncovered a stone bearing an inscription of Pilate's name. Originally, it was a dedication stone to a pagan temple erected in honor of Emperor Tiberius. That temple was later destroyed, and the stone was reused as a landing step for a stairway at the huge amphitheater visible today, Caesarea Maritime. And there's more on this. I'm not going to read it all. Again, historians tell us that he committed suicide out of depression just a few years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And if that is so, that would remind us of another person, Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed the Lord. He had betrayed innocent blood in Matthew 27, the first beginning verses of that chapter, and we know that he also committed suicide. Now, the reason I wanted to start here, I want you to notice that as the Apostle Paul is given charge to Timothy to strengthen Timothy and to encourage Timothy, Timothy in the faith, and us also, really. And he speaks of Jesus Christ, who has sealed his testimony in blood. In verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God." Notice this, he's giving him a charge. And he speaks of Christ, and he says, "Who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession," verse 14, "that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see here in this text, and we'll read about this in the Gospels, that Jesus Christ's confession before Pilate, a good confession, his profession that he gave here. You'll see that, and we'll read these later in Matthew 27:11, and also John 18, verse 36 to 39. So we find that Jesus Christ bore testimony of the truth in the face of death, declaring himself to be Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, in facing death, he stood before Pilate, who later Christ was sentenced to death. And the Apostle Paul is using this passage where Christ stood before Pilate. And it says here, again in verse 13, that he witnessed, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And so this is encouragement to Timothy, and also encouragement to you and I as well. Now let us turn to Mark chapter 15, and I'm not going to read every passage that we have in the Gospels, but let's read several, and let me point out just a few things about Pilate. Now I'm coming to Mark chapter 15, first of all, I'm going to begin reading. I'm just going to kind of move around a little bit between the Gospels, maybe read a few passages in the book of Acts. But notice, as we come here, I'm going to begin reading Mark 15, beginning in verse 1. And just three thoughts to give you tonight. First of all, Pilate's duties. He was a governor of Judea for about 10 to 12 years, probably between about 26 A.D. to about 36, 37 A.D. Pilate was the direct representative of the Roman Empire. Again, he was a governor, and he had civil and military authority in this area, in Judea, which was, this area was also occupied by the Roman armies, the Roman Empire. And what we're going to begin reading here is that the Jewish leaders, they come and arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. That's recorded for us in chapter 14, verse 43 through 45. And then again in verses 60 through 65 in chapter 14, they hold a mock trial. And this is a fabricated trial, and they bring false witnesses. In other words, to try to have Christ put to death. And what we see here is that Pilate is woke up in the morning, not expecting something like this to happen, and they're bringing the Lord Jesus to him to put on trial, to actually having to put to death. And basically, when we read this, Pilate sees this as it is. It's a scam. He sees that they have no evidence. And he sees the Jewish hatred toward Jesus Christ. And so he wakes up this morning not expecting this to happen. But he actually, in the beginning, refuses to go along with the Jewish leaders. And again, we're talking about the high priest and the chief priest and so forth, as we would read through chapter 14. Now notice in verses 1 through 5 of Mark 15, it says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Now again, they've already had their trial. They've arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they've went through the whole night, you know, basically interrogating and bringing in false witnesses and had their own little trial. And it says in verse 2, and Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto them, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. So these Jewish leaders are bringing Jesus unto Pilate, and they're telling him that he is, professes to be the king, in other words, a rival to Caesar, and that's not true. Christ is the king. He spoke of his kingship, but not as a rival to Caesar, as far as human governments are concerned. And these Jewish leaders believed that if they brought him, brought false accusation, and brought him to Pilate, that Pilate would have him killed. And even though Pilate did not want to have anything to do with this, he was going to leave it up to the Sanhedrin to handle this case. Problem of that, one of the problems, was is that the Sanhedrin had not the authority under the Roman Empire to have someone put to death in this way. And also, we are looking at apostate Judaism here, and they did not want to defile themselves because the Passover was real soon. Now, they're going to kill the Son of God, their Creator and Redeemer, but they did not want to defile themselves. So we see here, first of all, that Jesus is brought before Pilate after the Jewish leaders have arrested him in the garden. You remember where Jesus and his disciples after the upper room. And so they arrest him and carry him before the high priest, Caiaphas, and also the chief priest, and they put him on trial through the whole night. Now they're bringing him to Pilate. Come with me to John 18. Again, I'm just going to move around a little bit between the Gospels. Notice with me in John chapter 18. Now, first of all, I mentioned Pilate's duties. He is a governor over Judea. Again, the nation of Israel is under the authority of the Roman Empire, under Caesar. Now notice, secondly, let's consider Pilate's dilemma. In other words, we find here that Pilate is somewhat between a rock and a hard place. And that is to either crucify Christ and satisfy the Jewish mob or to release him. And of course, Pilate originally wanted to release him. So this is his dilemma. And we find here the Jewish leaders wanted Pilate to rubber stamp their decisions and their fabricated trial. Now notice, first of all, as I read in verse John chapter 18, read from verse 28 to about verse 32. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." Now Pilate doesn't buy this. He knows that what they're trying to do. And that doesn't mean that Pilate is saved. We're going to see as we go along that he did turn him over to be crucified. Verse 31, then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Then that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So we find in these verses, as in Mark, that Pilate is placed in probably one of the worst situations of all men in the Bible, a very hard decision to make. Because you've got these Jewish leaders coming, and they're going to use the fact that Jesus is declaring himself to be a king, and they're going to use Caesar in this argument, even telling Pilate, well, if you don't do this, then you're not a friend of Caesar's. Now, notice now as we drop down to verse 33. In verse 33, beginning here, it says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Now see, he's not the same kind of king as Caesar. He's not in competition with Caesar. He said, if my kingdom were this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone is of the truth, heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now he makes a statement several times as we read the four Gospels. So really, when we look at this, Jesus is on trial, but really Pilate is on trial by the Creator. And he is confronted with the truth, and a decision must be made. Truth incarnate stood before Pilate. See, Jesus spoke of the truth. Those that hear his voice are of the truth. And he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we find here that as Jesus is on trial, really Pilate is on trial, standing before the Creator. Now let's notice something else. I'm going to read from verse 39 and verse 40. And I want you to notice here now, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent of these charges. He offers them Barabbas just to appease the people. Barabbas was a man that was a freedom fighter, I should say. He was imprisoned because of revolting against the Roman government. And this is one of the things that brought the destruction in A.D. 70. Verse 39, you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now I want you to listen to just a few verses. You can turn if you want. We're going to end up in Matthew 27 in just a moment, but I want you to listen to Acts 3. I'm going to read two passages in Acts in reference to Pilate. Acts chapter 3. I'm just going to cut into the text and go to one verse. Acts chapter 3, the context is speaking of Christ and speaking of what they had done to him. They killed the Prince of Life in verses 12 through 15. But notice in verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate doesn't mean that Pilate was a Christian. Pilate woke up one morning, probably getting ready to face the day, thinking going to have a good day, and here is a bunch of Jews bringing Christ before him, wanting to put him to death. So his day got changed drastically that morning. I'm also reading in chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 27. Again, I'm cutting into the context again. And it says here in verse 27, said, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Who killed the Lord Jesus Christ? All, in that sense, Jew, Gentile, leaders, soldiers. Go back with me now, this time to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Now there's more on Pilate than what I'm reading. I'm picking out certain verses that just kind of get to the point. Now notice in Matthew 27, beginning around verse 19, and we find here that Pilate, in this passage, again, he tells us that Jesus is not worthy of death. And even Pilate's wife gives him testimony. In verse 19, I'm reading from verse 19 to verse 26. And he says, "And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Beginning now in verse 20. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now, that's a good question. That question, it still has to be asked today. What will we do with Jesus? And he said here in this passage, "And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus," that is to whip him severely, "he delivered him to be crucified." Now, let's go back to the book of Mark. And notice back in Mark chapter 15, I told you I'm just going to move around here a little bit between the Gospels to point out a few things. So we've looked at his Pilate's duties. He had great responsibilities and duties as a governor, to govern over the people and to keep peace in the land, and to do what is right. We see Pilate's dilemma. Again, he's got the pressure put on him. Now let's look at Pilate's decision. Pilate sinned not only against the truth that he was presented with, but he sinned against his own conscience. He was presented with the truth by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, he wanted to release Jesus. He didn't want to have anything to do with all of this. He just wanted it to go away, but it did not go away. Now, I'm reading this time from verse 6. From verse 6 down through about verse 15, and we have a little bit more added here. We're talking about now his decision. And as I read, I want you to notice that Pilate allowed the crowd, the multitude, to affect him. And he also allowed the Jewish leaders to play a role in his decision. And also the fear of losing his job. He feared that, political expediency. We find that in this passage beginning in verse 6, Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, notice first of all, this is the crowd, the multitude, the people. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had even done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. So we have the pressure from the crowd, the pressure from the Jewish leaders, and as we would read all four of the Gospels, we would have the fear of losing his position, his job. Because they actually petitioned him and said if he does not do what they want him to do, they would say, "Well, you're not a friend of Caesar." In verse 11, "But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, 'What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews?' They cried out again, 'Crucify him.' Then Pilate said unto them, 'Why, what evil hath he done?' They cried out the more exceeding, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, willing to content the people," notice that, "to appease the people, he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified," had him beat, and then turned him over to be crucified. Now let's go this time to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, a little bit of repetition, but there's a reason for it. "So we find that they chose a murderer over the Creator." Not only the religious leaders of Israel, but also just the crowd, the multitude, the people. "So Pilate and Herod also, through the course of all of this, became friends in association with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ." So Pilate is concerned now with self-preservation, maintaining his position as governor, keeping peace between the Jewish people, and also the problem he would get from Caesar if things did not work out well. So he reasoned with them again in this passage, beginning verse 1. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" Now I want to read just a few other verses in this passage. But I want you to keep in mind decisions that everyone must make, choices. And keep in mind, what do we do with Jesus? And there's another passage in Matthew 22, verse 41 through 46, that says, "What think ye of Christ?" In other words, everyone has to do something with Christ. Either accept him or reject him. And so Pilate is an example to us, as Judas Iscariot. Now notice as we come here, let's read just a few more verses. I'm beginning in verse 7. In verse 7. By the way, let me read a quote to you, and I have no idea where this come from. I've had it for at least 20 plus years, probably 25 years. This is all in reference to Pilate and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to read this to you. Listen, it says here, in reference to Pilate, now the judge who declared Jesus innocent, the politician easily swayed by people trying to please them, the philosopher who asked if Jesus was a king and then questioned the meaning of truth, the officer of the law who sent guards out to seal the tomb of Jesus, the military leader who boasted that he had power over Jesus, the human who attempted to wash the guilt of his sins of omission from his hands. That meant nothing when he took the pan and washed his hands there. And that ceremonial cleansing, that meant nothing. And we know where Pilate's life ended up at, like Judas Iscariot. We find here in verses, beginning in verse 7, the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Keep in mind, he doesn't want to do this. He wants peace. He does want the opposition. His wife's had a dream. Now he's standing before the Creator. And it says in verse 9, "And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Then in the next verse, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." So he's afraid he's going to get this from both sides politically. And we find in the remaining verses here that I'm going to read, just a few more, and we're through. We find that in verse 13, "And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Galbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into place that called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others, with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. What can we learn from this man? Well, Pilate began reasoning with them instead of just staying with the truth and what was right. He was the judge. And the pressure began to build with the people, the multitude, the chief priests, the leaders of Israel, and then thinking about his job, his position, because they said, you're no friend of Caesar. Can you imagine this getting back to Caesar? And so he made a bad decision, an unjust act that damned his soul. And this is his defining moment in life, right here, the passage we just read. So we can learn from him. He's not a Nebuchadnezzar that was bad and got saved. But we can learn from him as we can from Judas Iscariot. Everyone has to make the decision of what they're going to do with Christ and what think of Christ. Would you stand with me this evening? Father, we thank you tonight for thy love and mercy and grace. And Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example that we have in Christ as well as we walk in our journey here upon this earth. And Lord, we just pray tonight for thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, for the remaining singing and the prayer requests. And we just pray, Lord, for thy blessings to be upon us. And Lord, for thy guidance from thy word and from thy Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.